I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon concerning the words that our Creator has given to us to guide us through life. And the thing, the subject I'd like to deal with this evening, I've entitled Things We Cannot Run Away From. Turn with me to Jonah, the first chapter, and we'll read the first 10 verses in the book of Jonah and kind of get a background here or an idea that we've chosen to use as a subject. And then we'll look at some specific things concerning some things that you and I can't run away from. But you remember the story of Jonah when God told him he wanted him to do something. Jonah didn't want to do it and he ran the other way. You know, it's a natural desire to run away from that which is unpleasant to us. We all experience that from time to time, and Jonah illustrates this pretty well. God gave him a task. Jonah didn't want to do that task. He tried to flee from the presence of God. God taught him that he could not flee from his presence. So Jonah repented and did the work that was set before him by God. So we'll read verses 1 through 10 of Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. But Jehovah sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it unto them. But Jonah was gone down into the innermost parts of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What is this that thou hast done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of Jehovah, because he had told them. The point I would like to make here is the fact that Jonah is trying to do something that's an impossibility. We cannot flee from our responsibilities to our Creator. Now we can decide not to do them. But actually Jonah had not turned against Jehovah in the sense that he still believed Jehovah. He actually told him there, I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. He hadn't lost faith in Jehovah or anything like that. He just didn't agree with what Jehovah wanted him to do, to go to these heathens Nineveh and to preach to them so that they might repent and turn back. And he later states that. That's what he was afraid of. He was afraid of God because he knew that Jehovah God's a forgiving God, and if these people repented, God would forgive them, and he didn't want them to be forgiven. So actually his belief system, what he wanted, was clashing with what Jehovah wanted concerning these people. And so when you read the rest of the book, you see that unfold. This afternoon, I'd like to look at some things concerning this precept, that there are some things that you and I cannot run away from. And I put on the board here five different areas or five different things that I would like to look at as we go through this lesson. First of all, God. We cannot escape the eyes of the Lord. In our Creator, we live and we move And we have our very being or existence, as we're told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. David realized that God was everywhere, and could see man and see what man was doing and what was going on no matter where he went or what he did. Let's go back to Psalm 139. One of the Psalms that you might say puts this in a nutshell. We're going to read through the first 18 verses. It's a beautiful psalm, as most of the psalms are, of course. But this one concerning this point that we're making about God and not escaping the eyes of God. Beginning of verse 1 of Psalm 139. O Jehovah, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Jehovah, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night, even the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And we could read through the rest of the chapter, but we'll stop there. One of the many, many passages that show the omnipresence of God. We cannot run away from self. That's the second category that we'll look at this afternoon. We cannot run away from our own selves. You know, Paul said that every man will bear his own burden in Romans 6:5. We have responsibilities in the sight of our Creator that we cannot run away from. Now, it's true we can select not to do what God wants us to do in service unto Him, but we're going to pay dearly for that if we do not seek to put Him first and please Him in all of our ways. Solomon said in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know, every man has a conscience. Now, consciences can be seared. They can be branded as with a hot iron. But we all have consciences, and they work, and they're regular. That's one of the differences between us as human beings and the animal kingdom. All of the other things that God created that are alive. We have a conscience. And what he means when it says the wicked flee when no man pursueth is because that people's consciences bother them. And a wicked person, you know, they do things bad. They've got a conscience. They know they've done something wrong. And so oftentimes they flee when no one pursueth. They're scared. They're afraid because they've done stuff wrong. And they're always, as we say, they're looking over their shoulder, you know, because they've got a conscience. But we have to understand that we have to live with ourselves. And that's part of having a conscience. So we can't run away from ourselves. Another thing we can't run away from is death. Death is not going to be bypassed. I don't care who you are. you're going to die unless Jesus comes before that happens. We understand that. We can't run away from death. We're born into a world where death abounds. And in due time, each of us will face physical death. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power over the day of death." We can take vitamins and we can eat proper diets, we can exercise, we can have checkups every year, but you know, we're still going to die. We can't run away from it. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. This is something we can't run away from. Another thing we can't run away from is the judgment. After death comes, the judgment is going to take place when Christ comes again. And we're all going to be there. The small and the great will stand before that great white throne. Let's read about that in Revelation chapter 20 to refresh our memories. We need to keep this ever before us. It's important. The 20th chapter, beginning at verse 11 through verse 13 at this time. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works." The only thing we're going to take with us when we leave this earth, when we die, when we go through that portal of physical death, will be our works. Whether they be good or whether they be bad. And everything is going to be brought before God. We often make note of the last two verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes was written dealing with the subject of where is true happiness found for mankind. And so in that book, of course, the writer, who is most probably the preacher being Solomon, tried to find true happiness in worldly wisdom, in pleasure, in riches, in power. But in all conclusion of that book, true happiness is found in serving God. And he closes that book out by saying that, "This is the end of the matter, and all hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So we can't run away from death. We can't run away from the judgment. We also cannot run away from that place called hell. A lot of people don't even believe in hell nowadays. But you know, it's still in the Bible. It's still just as true as it was 50, 60 years ago when most people believed in hell, or a lot more. All who are not faithful to God will be cast into this place called hell, and there's no escape. So let's go back to Revelation 20 and read the next two verses of 13 through 15. We'll read verses 14 and 15 of Revelation 20. And so there it says, after every man's judged according to their works, verse 14 of Revelation 20, "And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." Now you can't get any more clear and concise than that. The Holy Spirit tells it like it is, that if we are not faithful to God, then we're going to end up in hell. That's why there are so many scriptures that warn us, in the epistles especially, directed to Christians, of being faithful and not bowing down to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. To turning away from temptations and seeking to love God instead of ourselves and pleasure and other things on this earth that would draw us away from God. Because there is this place called hell. And we need to have godly fear and fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And I fear that a lot of people and some Christians don't have this fear. They have a concept of what I call denominational fear, which is just not any fear according to Bible fear. It's love. You know, God's a God of love. He's such a good God, and He does so many wonderful things, and He helps me out through the day, and it's so wonderful. And they don't think about hell. They don't want to deal with the negatives that are in the gospel, only the positives. But friends, there's lots of negatives that we have to deal with. It's to make sure that we are living the way God would want us to live. Next question I have, why can't we run away from these things? Well, let's go through them again. First of all, God. Why can't we run away from God? Well, of course, that answer is self-evident. He's everywhere. So if you turn to passages like Jeremiah chapter 23 and look at verses 23 and 24, and of course there's many, many passages that you could engage in. I just grabbed this one. There in Jeremiah 23, 23 and 24 says, "Am I a God at hand, saith Jehovah, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, saith Jehovah? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith Jehovah?" So there's the proper concept of Jehovah God. I don't comprehend that, but I believe it with all my heart. He fills heaven and earth. He knows all things. He's everywhere at once. He's omnipresent. We have to walk by faith in order to please God. We've got to believe these things. Let's look at one other passage, Hebrews 4:13 I jotted down. Hebrews 4:13. And there it says, "There is no creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That's why we can't run away from God, because He's God. But we can't run away from self either, because we are created with that conscience, with that entity about us, that we have a conscience. And unless it's seared, it's going to give us problems. Let's look at Romans chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16. There it's talking about the Gentiles as they lived and served and worshiped God under and before and under the law of Moses, before the law of Christ was brought into effect. And notice what it says about them, these Gentiles of verse 14. It says in verse 15 concerning them that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. And notice especially it says their conscience bearing witness therewith, and their thoughts one with another accusing or else excusing them. So here you see the conscience that God's put into us being a regulator through the truth that the knowledge they had from God from the beginning of creation. And so Gentiles, like, well, I guess a good example is Job and Melchizedek. They were very strong men of God, and they were following what God had given all mankind. God never set man down here on this earth without His law. Many people have chosen not to follow His law and start following man-made laws. But you see the conscience being involved. That conscience is part of us, and it will condemn us in the end. So we can't run away from ourselves, but we can't run away from death either, because death was appointed by God. Why is death in the world? Because sin is in the world. And so when you go back and Look at passages like Psalm 51:5, where David is saying that he was brought forth in sin. And in sin did his mother conceive him. He's saying that when we're born into a world, a region, an area where sin is. And as we grow up, we sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we grow up and we choose to do evil, then we sin, and that separates us from God. And that brings death, spiritual death. And even young children sometimes die physically before they even get to that age where accountability is put upon them by God. And they die physically because through sin, all must die according to Genesis. The physical death happens. So young children can die of diseases. They can die of evil hands. They can die of car wrecks and various other things. And they're innocent, but they still can experience physical death, because that's what sin has brought into this world. We can't escape death. We can't escape the judgment either. Why can't we? Because it's just a true a fact as physical death for us. We can't escape it. It's appointed of God. Let's look at Acts 17:30 and 31. Acts 17:30 and 31. There it says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere that they should repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath foreordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the way it is, and we can't escape it. There is going to be a judgment. Why? Because God's ordained it. He set it into play. And we can't escape the fact that there's a hell either. Why? Because God has set it up. Now we know why there's a hell. He created it for the devil and his angels. But we also understand that if we're not faithful to our Creator, if we don't live to put Him first in our lives, to be faithful unto Him, to give Him the service, the recognition, the love, the adoration, the praise, the honor, and the glory that He deserves, because He is our Creator, and He gives us all good things to enjoy. He's the reason our hearts are beating right at this very second. He's the reason this body is functioning right now. We can actually sit here and understand what we're studying. We can breathe the air that He gives us into this body and cause this body to function as it does, to bring that oxygen into our bodies and to that oxygen to go through our system in the blood and to give the nutrients that are necessary for our body to function. God is causing all of that to happen. He's the power for us to even be here right now and to do what we're doing right this second. That's God. And He has that right to do all of the things that He does. And if we are unrighteous, we're not going to escape. Let's look at a few passages. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through 9. If I can get the right chapter here. If God spared not angels when they sinned, but He cast them down to hell, or there actually the Greek is Tartarus, which is not Guiana, but they translated hell also. But he puts them into this location, Tartarus, or Tartarus, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And He spared not the ancient world, but He preserved Noah with seven others. a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, having made them an example